Check. Good morning, Cornerstone. Good morning. Happy Monday. A little sad that we're concluding our retreat, but thank you for joining us. We have one final round of Get to Know Your Members. Please help me welcome up Clifton and Ashley Stewart. Woo! 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 Wait, just before we ask questions, who was up the latest last night? Up the latest? Oh, Doreen's raising her hand, yeah. What was that, like 5? 4:30? Me and Jin. Oh, you and Jin.
Who was watching Barbie in the chapel?
I don't know. Someone's watching Barbie, yeah. All right. With the time that we have, you guys know what we're going to ask. So share with us your name, where you guys grew up, family size, how long you guys have been at CBC, and we'll start from there.
You first.
Oh, my real name is Ying Cho, but my fake name is Ashley. That's what you guys know me for.
They're calling you by your fake name, huh?
Yeah, maiden name Chen, which turned into my middle name, and Stewart. In spirit, but not on any of the documents yet.
That's right.
Not yet.
That's right.
Well, my fake name is Clifford. And my real name is Clifton. Clifton Charles Stewart. My maiden name is Stewart.
Yes.
And I'm from just outside Vancouver, Canada. And that's it, right?
Family size? Yeah, like siblings.
One and two. Oh, my growing up family.
Yeah, family. Growing
yes,
up family.
I have... It's Monday morning. You'd be the same.
Yeah. Sorry. I could have elaborated more.
One and two. I have one brother and three sisters, and I'm the second.
Okay. One
five.
Brother, three sisters. You're the second.
Five total,
yes.
Five total siblings.
And you
including
actually?
Including myself.
Pretty much for my immediate family, I'm the only child, but I do have a half-brother from my dad's second marriage.
Got it. And then both... Or Canada, right? Both of you from Canada originally?
Ashley has Canadian citizenship, but she grew up in Shanghai.
Oh, that's right.
I'm fake Canadian.
Yeah. Fake Canadian. Okay. And then how long have you guys been at Cornerstone for?
In June, it'll be 4 years. So
June,
just over 3.5 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about how you got to Cornerstone for some of those who don't remember or don't know the story. Tell us a little bit about the transition in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, so it was pretty straightforward. It was COVID. In March of 2020, and I had seen that Cornerstone was looking for a lead pastor and a youth pastor. And I think anyone who would see both was looking for a lead pastor, and I was like, no way, I want to be the youth pastor. So I contacted Huey, and then they were at ShepCon, and then I was working at ShepCon. I worked in the bookstore at Grace Church when I was at seminary. And then I had a terrible phone, so when I had to do the interview, I had to walk just down the street. Huey remembers really well. My phone died, and I couldn't, like, charge it.
And this is for your interview, right, you were saying?
This is for my first interview with Cornerstone.
Okay.
So it's Hyun, Francis, Isaiah, and Huey. And so I just walked down the street beside Grace Church, and I was just knocking on doors, just knocking on. And if you've been by Grace, like, it's an interesting neighborhood, so it's, like, there's gates and everything. So I was kind of, like, peering over gates, like, seeing who was, like, looking out. And so I'm talking to, like, a couple of ladies on the side of the street who did not speak English, and I'm like, I don't think I'm going to get help figuring out where to go. And then I just hear Huey be like, Clifton? And I turn around and I'm like, I guess you're my guy. So we walked in. So that was the awkward start of the first interview. And then the second interview we did, I almost missed because I had dropped a cup. And then when I went to pick it up, it like scratched my finger. And I still have a scar on my finger from it. And I was bleeding like everywhere. And none of our bandages could fix it. And then I checked my watch. I'm like, I'm getting my second interview, like, right now.
Wow.
So I, like, went on. I'm like, hey, sorry, I'm, like, a minute late. So that was the interesting start of both of my interviews, yeah.
Nice. And then for you guys getting together, when you guys came to Cornerstone, were you guys already married? What was that status like or situation like in that way?
I think it was a week after my second interview, I proposed.
Oh, wow.
So I actually told the guys before they even hired me, like, I'm going to be engaged. So they knew before, like, a lot of my friends, actually. But, yeah, so I think it was, like, a week after we were engaged. So I came to Cornerstone. Ashley was finishing her time. She had started working at Grace Books, too. So she came, like, 3 months after me. We were married. So I got hired in July of 2020, and then we were married January 2021.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Ashley, what caught your eye on Clifton? Or maybe it was Clifton caught... No. Wait, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Maybe you should tell me.
I've already said so much.
No, but
why don't you,
you
say from
say
your
more.
Perspective?
Yeah.
Okay. So nothing caught her eye. Absolutely nothing. So it's a longer story, but basically the first time I had officially noticed Ashley, we were at In-N-Out. We were at a Bible study called Foundation at Grace Church. It used to be the Foundry. And then probably 50 or 60 young adults would go to an In-N-Out after. And so I was talking with a bunch of guys, and then Ashley was at a table by herself. And I was like, oh no, that's really unfortunate. I'll go and talk to her. So I just went to talk to her. And then she shared her testimony, and then I shared mine. I went home. I'm like, I really like that girl. But I didn't know 5 months later that the reason she had sat alone is she came in and was talking to some people, and then she heard me telling really obnoxious jokes to those guys, and she's like, I don't want to be around that guy. So she went and sat by herself. So after we were dating, I found out that she was like purposely trying to avoid me.
Wait, so knowing that, and then he comes to your table, then he's like, I had these seats saved for nobody, please don't come.
Or like, just not me. Just...
No. I was open to conversing, just not the conversations that were happening at that table just now. Yeah. But yeah. I don't know what to say.
Yeah. Well, after that, it was like, I really liked Ashley, but I had been in a previous relationship, and then when we had broken up, it went really badly on her end,
yeah.
And I realized, oh man, like, I probably made some mistakes and either over-promising or whatever it was, and so I was like, oh man, I should really grow and be more mature. Mm. So I sat with a guy for like 3 months, and he was one of the Bible study leaders at our group, and I would just kind of I would ask questions, almost trying to get him to convince me that I shouldn't date, but at the end of most conversations, it was like, trust the Lord, desire to keep growing, and like talk with her. So like, I didn't have a car, I didn't have like a lot of money, and I thought those were big restrictions. He's like, you just need to talk to her and make sure she's okay with that. It's not about you trying to figure it out before you talk to her. Yeah. So I did that for like 3 months, and then eventually asked her out, and then I did, I think, 4 of the 23 principles you shouldn't do. I did about 4 of them before.
Just because it produces
Ashley.
Results doesn't mean it's right. Isn't that like...
Yeah, so that was one. The other one was I wanted to talk to Ashley privately when I asked her out, and Grace Church is obviously so busy. So I literally prayed that God would make it rain. And I did that because then when it rains, like, people at Grace don't stick around. They all, like, leave. So then I'd have an appropriate space. But the problem is it worked. It did rain. So I'm not selling that. I'm just saying that's what happened.
Nice.
Yeah. But anyway, we got to talk. I was really sure she was going to say no.
Uh-huh.
I was actually so sure she was going to say no that I planned to ask her out. That the next day I would leave for Canada for 2 weeks, and then I'd come back and she would be gone in China for 2 weeks, so I'd have a month to get over the fact that she said no. But then she said yes. So then when we were done, I had just like the most awkward time sitting next to her in Sunday service. I don't remember anything that was said. We had dinner after. I don't remember anything the dinner was about. I was just kind of like, just the whole time. And then we had the most awkward date the next day.
It wasn't necessarily a yes at that point. It was like a...
So this is maybe the part where you can bring more color in,
yeah,
or you can bring more details in. You didn't say yes, but
it was
not,
like
no.
You know, we could get to know each other more. But I think I was pretty clear at that point that, you know, like, we're still friends.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah, that's true. I think I was amazed that I had even had a chance.
Oh, okay.
Like, I thought
I
it'd be a hard no, but
uh-huh.
She basically said, like, I haven't had time to think about whether I like you or not.
Got
so, like, But she's like, I will give you intentional time where we can become friends.
Cool.
And there are other circumstances that worked out. Like, for the next 4 months, we just, like, did homework together. We became friends.
Yeah.
We didn't do a ton of, like, romantic stuff. We just got to know each other really well. And it was
asked a lot of
awesome
grilling
time.
Questions.
Yeah, we asked all the questions you're not really supposed to ask. Like, I think we sat down to, like, do our homework. And within, like, a minute, Ashley turns and she's like, so how many kids do you want to have? And, like, really quick, I was like, 10. And she's like, okay, I want, like, 2. And then it was quiet. And then we started.
Yes. I don't think it exactly happened
that way.
Not
exactly
that
way, but it was like every question you're not really supposed
to
ask.
You were more concerned about the question about the kids, I think.
Yeah, I certainly was.
But what was interesting was that I think initially the impression that he got that I was trying to say no was because I was listing off all basically the terms and conditions, like I have accepted the terms and conditions. Mm. I was trying to give him a view of, like, I thought I had too much baggage in my life for, you know, some good Christian guy to be like, that's the one.
Mm.
Yeah, so it was, and like, then I was listing down all of the things that I'm like, maybe this would be a no for him. Like, so just making sure that, oh, before he commits to this is the person I want to pursue, I am willing to go through with these hardships.
Right. And then from my perspective, I thought she was letting me down slowly, like letting me down, like giving reasons like, it's not you, it's me. And so I was like, I remember telling you, I was just like, you can just say no. Like, you can say I'm ugly and that's cool. Like, if that's what it is. And she's like, she explained what she was doing, and I don't remember anything you said after that. Because I was so surprised.
Just said yes.
But I really appreciated how intentional he was and, like, trying to, like, really befriend me and get to know me and talk to an elder about, like, what they observed about me. And so I thought, like, this person really cared about my character. Mm. And that was different. And it's really cool. Yeah.
So during that time, since we were on that topic, how did that, like, strengthen your faith? Or how was that, like, during, like, how did you become more dependent upon Christ during that trial of figuring out, should I pursue him? Should we go? Should we be steady?
Oh.
Like, or even going, like, getting engaged, getting married, going to a new church, new environment in that way, instead of maybe staying at Grace and being established for a few years and then transitioning. Any thoughts in regards to that?
Sorry, I'm like thinking like that's a lot of different time periods. Mm. But
whichever time period that stands out to you.
No, yeah, like there was a season in my life where I wasn't really thinking about a relationship at all, and it was just trying to deal with things at home and trying to figure out like how do I honor my parents who were not believers, and I was a believer at that point, and then there was some hard things going on with my mom. So, yeah, I don't know how much time to elaborate, but my mom was in kind of a pseudo-Christian cult in a Chinese underground church, and it just was a lot going on in terms of trying to explain what the gospel really is about to my mom, and then my dad completely does not know anything about that and is supporting me in my studies, and but then... Yeah, just also trying to navigate what it means to be a member in a healthy church. So I just didn't have room in my brain for a relationship to be added to that. But God had other plans. things just happened the way that it did.
Yeah. And then, Ashley, you were born and raised in China?
Yes.
And then when did you come to the States or the...
I came to the States in college,
okay.
18. So yeah. So
and
that,
is that when like Jesus saved you, or was this before that?
Yeah, there were a lot of events. I mean, when we look back, we kind of see God's fingerprints all over our lives. But yeah, there was a point earlier on in my childhood where I was introduced to a very basic version of Christianity. Is like Jesus died on the cross for you, but I wasn't really sure why he died on the cross and why he needed to die on the cross, and why was it for me. It was just like, oh, he did such a nice thing. And I should have some kind of, like, so in Chinese culture, it's really when someone lays down their life for you, you like do the same for them. And so there was this kind of feeling that I have to repay him and have loyalty to him somehow. But I didn't have anything to work with, and that was the entirety of my childhood growing up. And once I was 17, 18, something like that, my mom and I were introduced to an underground church in China, and that was like the first time that I experienced something remotely similar to expository preaching, but it was the preacher trying to say that they're using God's word to tell us what God's will is, but they were misinterpreting a lot of things and twisting a lot of things, and there was a lot of confusion between the continuity and discontinuity between the Old and New Testament and the law and stuff like that, so it became really legalistic towards the end of it, and there were a lot of rules that were imposed on the church members that were not, like, there was a lot of bondage where Christ gave freedom, and a lot of talk about obedience and God's justice without the grace and the cross. So it was confusing for me because at that point I understood that the Bible had authority over my life, and then I was a sinner and God was holy, but I didn't know how to fix my sin. Like, where do I bring it to? And then it became like kind of just hopelessness and thinking that I've been rejected and that's it. But then I wanted to like put pause on religion and just pursue my ambitions, which was design and coming to California for school. Ended up in a Christian fellowship over here that was the complete opposite, free grace. Everything is love and grace and acceptance and no obedience. I think the Spirit was already working within me to preserve some of the truths that I've received from the bad church situation, and started using those tools to find my way in this new understanding that God loves me. And it led me to like a host of different things, like reading through scripture myself and coming across a lot of YouTube videos of preaching, because YouTube's banned in China. I don't know if everyone knows that, but there's no resources like that. I started listening to preaching, and it was like a range from very bad feeling-based, experience-based teaching to teaching that talks about scripture and how to draw truth out of that. And I think the more I was drawn to scripture, the more I was drawn to that type of teaching. And I think subtly, God has been reforming my understanding of who he is and what scripture is about and what the gospel is through that entire process. And series of events. I went on Yelp, and I happened to come across Grace Community Church. Mm. And I didn't even know that it was one of the teachers that I was listening to on YouTube. And that's how I ended up there, and that's how we got into the same Bible study. So, yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. I love it in the sense of this is just a good starting point. So, like, conversations, whether it be at lunch or afterwards or even at church, we can delve more into the details there. Mm-hmm. But with the time that we do have, let's jump right into the lightning round so we can transition to the rest of the service today. Quick bite, what would you guys go for? Pizza, burger, ramen, salad?
Ramen.
Ramen.
Burger and ramen?
Burger and ramen at the same time?
Like no, ramen like inside the burger? A burger or a ramen.
Got it. Eggs, how do you guys like your eggs?
Eggs.
Anything with a runny yolk.
Runny yolk, okay. Utensil of choice.
Chopsticks.
Depends on the food.
Would you eat chopsticks or would you use chopsticks for a burger?
No.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Just curious, you never know. Car do you like to drive? Minivan, two-seater, not driving?
Minivan, but we don't have one.
Okay.
Not driving,
got it. If you had a haircut for Clifton to rock, what would you want him to rock? Mohawk, bowl cut, buzz cut, man bun, long hair?
I don't know. I think
I whispered,
open.
Say bowl cut.
You would say bowl cut.
What do you want?
bowl cut. I actually don't know. I'm curious what he looks like in all of those things.
Oh. Yeah. Maybe with AI we can figure that out.
I rocked a bowl cut once.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was teeny tiny.
Do you have
one
a picture
and a half
of
year
it?
Old Ashley. Oh, okay. We do have pictures
nice.
Of
this. Nice. Yeah. We can see that later. But with that, why don't we give it up for Clifton and Ashley?